Welcome to the Push Pull Sales and Marketing Podcast. I'm Marcello.
And I'm Sherry. And each episode will provide you with sales and marketing strategies that you can implement immediately into your own business.
Today, I am speaking with Steve Alexander, who is the CEO of Maverick, an award-winning experiential marketing agency that focuses on creating unforgettable and shareable experiences for in-person marketing events like festivals, conferences, trade shows, and more. Steve is on the show today to talk more about that experiential marketing industry, advice for incorporating tech into those in-person events, and some tips on how to help your brand experiences go viral. So thank you for coming on the podcast today, Steve.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'm excited to dive into this because a lot of what I do lives in the digital realm, and I'm seeing the need to branch out from that. So I'm so fascinated, you know, about this industry. I'm excited to pick your brain. But to start, if you could tell me a little bit more about yourself. What's your background? Basically, what do you currently do and how did you end up getting there?
Yeah, so I attended UCF in Florida with a degree in, got a degree in radio television production. I had a focus on digital media and I've always been kind of interested in, you know, big production, but also the digital side of that production. I got into the events industry working for an AV company, audiovisual company, doing mostly conferences and trade shows. So I got to see that kind of side of events life, and always kind of wanted to take it to the next level, to incorporate more immersive experiences. Wound up working through the ranks, did some operational and production stuff, did some sales stuff, and in about 2014, 2015, I decided to take the leap, start Maverick, and see where that went. And we currently, just like you said, we do, you know, the tech side of experiential marketing.
Very cool. So what made you take that leap? Like, what made you start your own thing? And what did it look like when you first started? I'm curious if you started more niche or if you started more broad and then found your niche.
Yeah, that's a good question. So at the time, I was working with kind of like a hybrid AV digital company, and we were doing you know, a lot of really cool stuff, working with experiential marketing agencies, brands that were engaging with the experiential marketing agencies, and also the conference side of things. And I saw, you know, the need for these agencies to have more of a turnkey solution, a true partner as opposed to a vendor that was, you know, building one thing, someone that was helping them craft these immersive experiences that gave them a bigger bang for their buck, and also led to better results. So, you know, I took the leap and started it, and I was fortunate enough to have some really great relationships at the start that, you know, opened the doors to us and said, hey, come on in and tell us, you know, how this is going to be different than the current relationships that we have. Right. And, you know, got a few to believe in us. And the first few things that we did went really well. We did a couple video games for clients, video game experiences, some digital signage, some interactive touch screens, and we just kind of grew from there.
That's awesome. So for people that might be a little bit more new to this, how would you describe experiential marketing? How is this different than what else is out there?
Good question. So, I mean, everybody's probably familiar with traditional marketing, you know, direct mailers, commercials, you know, general print ads and advertisement solutions. Experiential marketing is exactly kind of what it says. It's an experience. It allows consumers, or if you're in B2B, you know, your business clients or your business partners, to actually experience your brand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, brands engage with agencies. We craft these amazing experiences. Consumers freely engage with it. And studies have shown that they're more likely to tell lots of people about it, their experience, whether it's, you know, by word of mouth or through social media.
Okay. So a lot of times I'm trying to picture you know, exactly where you come in. So let's say somebody listening to the podcast, they're headed to a vendor trade show coming up here in the future. And, you know, a lot of times when you go to these events, every table looks pretty similar. It's a person there handing out some stuff and talking to people. But your guys' role is to then step in, strategize, brainstorm, and come up with something that's a lot more interactive for the people browsing through.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, I kind of liken it to everybody's probably been to a local carnival where there's, you know, a couple rides and ticket booths and, you know, some games and prizes, the stuff that you've seen over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then for the listeners that have been to a big theme park like Disney, it's the same type of, you know, experience, right? You have rides, you have games, but it's way more immersive and it's that next level experience. I think that's kind of a good descriptor of how we take that to the next level. The traditional exhibitor booth or the traditional event for a brand may be more like that carnival. And then we partner with the agencies and the brands to make it more like that Disney or Universal type experience.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great descriptor, describing it as immersive in the hope that they're really living that experience. They're taking that with them. And they're remembering the brand beyond those 5 minutes that they were interacting with them. Hopefully they're interacting longer. Hopefully they're engaging longer, but they're also transitioning outside of that event. Do you have any advice for merging those digital social media website connections with that in-person experience? Is that something that you guys try focus on? And I just think it's fascinating to be able to pull people, like get people to the event because of social media, but also like if they're at the event, push them back to, you know, your outlet so that you can continue that conversation and that relationship.
Yeah, definitely. So most of the events that we're doing lately, most of them have some type of digital takeaway, some type of compelling reason to take their experience to social media, whether that's a photo or a video or a boomerang style GIF or video, something that's different, something that's not just your typical photo booth. We've done stuff with augmented reality overlays, kind of like Snapchat. We've done things where we can insert somebody into a virtual locker room for a big sports team, all kinds of different stuff. And when they receive that email or that link to a landing page, and they're given an incentive to go and then share that to their social media channels, that's the way that these brands, it's the easiest way for these brands to really measure ROI.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have any other tips along those lines? Like, I think that's a great example of, you know, some sort of, you go to a sports brand and you get a picture of yourself in a locker room. Of course, you want to share that on Facebook, especially if you're a fan of that sport or that team or whatever you might be working with. What are some other examples that people might be able to incorporate into their experiences?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of requests for things like live streams, video live streams. That's a big trend right now that you can host directly on your website to drive traffic back to your website or to extend the experience to people who aren't actually physically there. Okay. Social media walls are a really good tool. But it's also a lot of what we do is very, very custom, right? We're not a product company. So, you know, there's different ways depending on what the experience is to incentivize your attendees to actually take the message to social media, whether that's you know, giving them an entry or a ticket to something, or giving them some type of prize or reward for using a hashtag. I mean, we can, you know, write scripts that understand who's posting what content, how frequently it's posted. All of that we can measure, and that all provides ROI to the client. So it's really important that we do find those hooks and those ways for people to then take it to their social channels.
Yeah, I think that's a good point too, because I know, you know, working and consulting with various businesses, I come across a lot of times businesses that say, we're just not that interesting. Like, we're just, nobody's going to want, you know, XYZ. Like, we're just boring. Why should we be on social media? Why do we need to go the extra mile? Like, we're just practical. And I think it's important that doesn't mean that you don't have something to offer. It doesn't mean that you can't do a giveaway. You know, it doesn't mean that you can't still build a brand experience and build that brand loyalty. And I would argue that in this day and age, you have to, like, you're just going to have to. And that's where you come in to be able to come in and strategize and come up with something, get them to see that side of things. Like, what can we do to make your brand a little bit more engaging?
Right. That's exactly it.
So you mentioned another thing there, which I like about your company, is that you guys are very, very tech savvy. So this isn't just flash and you know, strategy and the showmanship of it. There's very real in-depth tech that goes into this strategy and these experiences, correct?
Yeah, definitely.
What are some of those kind of things? I guess you mentioned a little bit, do you guys focus a lot on tracking? Do you, I don't know,
how do you get started?
You know, for somebody that's coming to you that hasn't done this before, how would you explain things to them?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we often get engaged by brands through their agency partners. So they're generally familiar with experiential marketing, and they might have done, like for some of our food and beverage partners, you know, these brands have done tasting events for years where they're sampling their products, but they haven't really taken it to the next level. So to help them understand the benefits of the increase in the, whether it's their budget or the increase in the footprint, whatever that means to them, the increase to incorporate tech and do something bigger, understanding what bigger actually translates to in terms of, you know, their ROI. They're always looking at, for every dollar they spend, what are they going to get back, right? Tasting events have worked for them for years. You know, what can they do to take that to the next level? So we'll work with the agency partner on crafting, you know, a really great experience for them. And we'll take into consideration not just using tech for tech's sake. So not just saying, all right, VR is very buzzworthy. Let's throw a VR element in here, right? But really understanding what their goals are. What things are they measuring internally? What things would they like to see? How do they want people to engage with their brand digitally? Do they want people posting videos on YouTube or using Snapchat or, you know, posting on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram? So understanding those goals are really, really important. So then we work with the agency partner to craft the experience kind of around achieving those goals. So it's not just about the showmanship, right? It's just not about the wow. I mean, there's a lot of wow. We love the wow. Attendees love the wow.
Right.
But it's also about tracking that, those attendees and encouraging them and finding ways, really compelling ways to drive them to social. So it's a big strategy and there's a lot of tech involved. There's more than meets the eye, I guess you can say, when you walk into an experience.
Yeah, for sure. And being able to track them throughout, something, you know, that we've run into is having to set those expectations. A vendor coming into an event, or heading into a conference or something like that, you're not there necessarily to sell a whole bunch of things that day, the next day, that week. But that brand awareness, especially when you're pushing people to social and you're spreading that word, you're getting that increased engagement, you're getting your name out there, that is valuable in and of itself. However, if you're able to offer more detailed tracking so that they can follow up with these people, that it isn't one exciting event and then these people fall off the radar, that they get to continue to follow up with them, continue those touches to hopefully turn them into loyal customers.
Yep, that's exactly it. Yep.
So one of the other things that I wanted to ask you about is what are some of those common questions or hesitations or things that confuse people about experiential marketing? Is there anything that comes to mind that you hear a lot?
Yeah. So for those that aren't marketers or those that aren't familiar with experiential marketing, I mean, specifically family and friends that are outside of the industry, they're like, experiential what? what does that mean? Experimental what? So right. there are a lot of questions about what it is. And when you describe kind of what it is or point to an example, everybody's probably seen it, right? You go to a festival or a trade show or a concert and you see somebody set up doing something. That's technically experiential marketing.
Right.
You know, taking it to the next level is a little bit different. And for our clients or our brand partners, a lot of the questions we'll get or a lot of the hesitation possibly is kind of a fear of tech. Maybe they don't understand all that goes into it, or maybe they're afraid to take the leap in something that's new and emerging, like virtual reality or augmented reality. So helping them really feel comfortable with the technology and pointing them to examples of how it's been used, whether we've used it for a client or showing them something they're familiar with, like Pokemon Go for augmented reality or something like that, and getting them comfortable with the technology and helping them understand how it's going to benefit their business and that it's not just technology for technology's sake. That's really important and sometimes the most challenging piece of what we do.
Yeah, for sure. And it's funny that you say that. Marcella and I just recorded an episode two nights ago where we were talking about don't be afraid of the internet. Like, don't be afraid of tech. Like, let's get past this and look to it. But the other key piece of that, which you had mentioned earlier as well, is don't do tech, don't do social media, don't do whatever just because just because that's the cool thing to be doing right now.
Right.
It has to make sense. There has to be a connection there. You know, VR is fun and exciting. Maybe, you know, if you're using it the right way, if it makes sense with your brand can't get lost in that messaging. And it needs to connect with who your target audience is, which we talk a lot about on the show. Understand who you're talking to, because if your crowd is an older demographic that doesn't really care about VR, then that's different. Or, you know, maybe your older demographic does care about VR. Maybe you can educate it. Maybe that can be something that steps outside of themselves. And just how you're delivering that is a little bit different.
Yeah, all really good points.
So what sets you guys apart from the competitors? I know we talked a little bit about it. Maybe it's the tech side of things. Maybe it's the tracking side of things. What do you think sets you apart?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we're kind of a hybrid between a tech company, and I use that – I know it's a vague term, and I use that kind of vaguely on purpose. Kind of a hybrid of a tech company and an experiential agency. You know, we're deeply rooted in the events world. From, you know, my background to, you know, our production team comes from the agency world. So they've seen it from that side. And then our dev team and our technologists and our creative technologists are all, you know, super techie. They're super passionate about emerging tech. And I mean, we can't get enough of it, right? So we kind of bring those two worlds together, which I think is unique for us. We're also kind of a one-stop shop for our agency partners or our brand clients, where we contribute to the creative process. So we're there as early as ideation and sometimes as early as the pitch for some agencies. And we see everything through production and beyond. So, and by beyond, I mean with data tracking and database sharing and all the analytics that we provide for the events. And our agency partners seem to really love it because they don't have to manage multiple vendors. So, you know, they might be used to having a data company and an IT company and an AV company and, you know, have a mobile app and have a VR experience all done and created by different companies. And that's really difficult for these agencies to manage and be experts in all of those areas, to kind of understand enough to communicate exactly what they're looking for and check in on all of those. So where we come in is we say, all right, what is the experience going to look like, and how can we add value to this experience by infusing this technology here? And then we'll take care of it all in-house for them.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. And like you said, simply managing different people that can do different things is very time consuming. And like you said, you might, the business might not know the right questions to ask. Whereas you guys, if you're all under one roof, you know, you're all, the communication's a lot better. You all understand pieces of what each other is doing. And I think it's so helpful. I notice more and more how, especially on the strategy side of things, I can come up with a great idea, but oftentimes it comes down to, well, I know there has to be a way to make this work, but I don't have enough tech experience. You know, I have enough tech experience to know this should be able to work somehow, but I can't figure that out. And that's where having that developer side of things, having those people that live that and are in that world, is so helpful. And I can see that as being very inspiring for you guys on the strategy end, because it's just incredible what what strides are still being made in technology and, you know, digital communication and all of that. So I can see that being a really huge benefit for you guys, but also the people that you work with.
Yeah, it seems to be catching on, and we're really happy about that.
Good, good. So one of the other things I wanted to ask you about is, you know, that buzzword, how do we go viral? You know, what insight do you have, or what do you guys think about when you're strategizing for an experience? What are there certain pieces that you try to think about, or certain things that you've seen that really hook people and start that virality on social media?
That's a good question. So we're really fortunate to have some fantastic creative agency partners that come up with some really great concepts that we're brought in to help bring to life. So as far as the content of what's being captured or the goal of what's being captured, you know, we lean on those guys a lot. I mean, sometimes we definitely contribute something that is worth sharing, but we're fortunate to have a lot of great creative partners. We kind of provide the mechanism and that really cool different take on maybe something, an idea that they have. So if a client or an agency wants to do a photo booth, we're the team that comes in and says, well, we can do something totally different. Like, maybe we can transport somebody into this completely other world and allow them to, like, you know, do a video by wearing a team's jersey or using some other type of augmented reality layer. It's something that this consumer has never seen before. Mm-hmm. And that technology and that experience for them, increases the desire to share it to social possibly, but the content and what, you know, what they're experiencing, it comes from the creative partner. So where we don't focus on, you know, necessarily going viral, we focus on, you know, what can we do to make this experience as amazing as possible for these consumers so that they can't wait to share this experience with their friends and their contacts and their followers?
Yeah, for sure. One of the things that pops into my head is, you know, let's say you're there, you have an incredible experience, and everybody wants to go do this thing or try this, you know, this photo booth or whatever it might be that you guys have set up. Have you had pushback that people then worry that it's going to be too popular, that they don't want a line for their booth, they don't want to make people angry, you know, waiting in line? Do you run into that, or do you feel like it's only good, like more attention?
It's usually
better.
A good thing. You know, the attention is definitely typically a good thing. We did a really, really fantastic, and the agency that we worked with on this project was amazing. But we did at an EDM festival, we did a really great photo activation, and it was so popular that we had a line to experience it, like from doors open to doors closed. It was like we couldn't get people through there fast enough. So we had to continuously optimize the user interface and do everything we could to increase throughput. But it still wasn't enough. We were at maximum capacity. If we had a bigger footprint, we could have put more of these in there, and we were certainly ready to do so. But the footprint just didn't allow it. But I think the line, you know, it definitely helps. I mean, I don't think anybody's angry to wait in a line. You know, if they get something that was worth the wait at the end, and I think this definitely was worth the wait. The line is definitely going to attract, you know, more people to join that line there. They're kind of anxious to see, well, what is everybody waiting for? You know, what's at the end of this line? What's at the end of the tunnel? Right. So if the content's good and if what you're putting out there you can be proud of, then, you know, however long that line is, it can't be a bad thing. Of course, you want maximum throughput, so do everything in your power to, you know, to to get more people through it.
On people. Yeah. Yeah. No, and I agree. I think that makes a lot of sense. And at the end of the day, I mean, with these kind of things, you're offering them something valuable for free. So, you know, for them, it's their call. If they, like you said, if they feel like it's worth waiting in line, you know, for an hour, however long, then it's worth waiting in line. And, you know, draws more people, draws more attention. And I think it's great. One of the hardest things, I think, about events in general is that you have one shot at it. You know, it's for you guys, you know, leading up to it, you can prepare all you can. But then the day of, there's only so much time and allowance for adjustments. How are you guys able to deal with that, prepare for that, cope with it? Do you have any advice for other people, you know, day of troubleshooting stuff?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And that's something that I think is also a differentiator for us, knowing that we only have one shot and we're not just a software development company or a technology company that, you know, is creating a product and use of these, you know, long timelines and long development cycles and extensive testing periods. I mean, we don't have that luxury. Like, the events world moves at like light speed. It's, you know, we get the idea, it comes in, you know, and sometimes we have weeks or a month to build something incredible, whereas a typical development cycle would be much, much, much longer than that, with probably weeks or months of testing alone. Right. So we're aware
that you're trying to stay on trend too. You know, a great idea today might be old news, you know,
sure,
a
definitely.
Month or two from now. So yeah, I could see that as being very challenging, but go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's definitely part of it. I mean, we need to stay on trend. The brands need to stay on trend. There might be an opportunity that pops up. So timelines are one thing. And we know going in that, you know, this probably isn't going to be enterprise grade. So we have to make, you know, all kinds of contingencies and take in all sorts of production related considerations to make sure that this thing works from when doors open to doors close. Mm-hmm. We only have that one shot, like you said, and that's super important. And, you know, we've had agency partners that have had poor experiences in the past with hiring a software development company that can build, you know, a software piece and having an audiovisual company provide the hardware and trying to mm-hmm. put those together, where the software company isn't necessarily an event company. So they're not there to support it. They're not thinking about how this might break on site or how this is going to work with this hardware.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it breaks, you and you only have that one shot, or if, you know, you're down for 50% of the day, that's a massive loss for that client. So where we come in is we're trying to think of every way this thing can break. We're trying to break it ourselves in the limited test period we have, honestly. And we're always there on site to make sure that everything is up and running. And we've got, you know, plan B, plan C, plan D all thought out already.
That's huge. And I think there's also value, I could imagine, in that development process that you guys are trying to, for yourselves, get the most bang for your buck. So, like, the simpler, the better. Like, as long as we can get a great experience across, get the message across, but also, like, be very creative about how to simplify that as much as possible. You know, if you don't have so much time to develop these kind of things, you got to stick to the basics and have a really good foundation to build upon, which I think is kind of valuable. I think too often we overthink things and get too fancy. And, you know, there might be a better way to just go back to basics.
That's a really good point. I mean, and a lot of what we do, I mean, there's, you know, I don't really want to say smoke and mirrors, but there's a little bit of a theatrical element where we're certainly not going to cut corners on the end result, right? The end result has to be incredible, has to be amazing. People need to love it in order to share it. But the way to get there, you know, if we had a year to build something, it may be engineered completely differently. There may be a lot more moving pieces, a lot more things that are kind of automated. Whereas if we only have a couple weeks to do it, we're thinking about how can we do this as simply as possible, just like you said, and how can we have fewer moving parts so that it just works? And if there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors and a little bit of, you know, theatrics that go in there to kind of sell it, you know, we'll definitely think of those things, because it also saves on budget, not just time.
Yeah, and you're passing that along to the client as well.
Absolutely.
I think there's so much in that people get stuck in thinking that bigger is better, more expensive is better. And, you know, especially in this almost like fast casual marketing trend where it's like, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. It pains me to see people putting more time and effort into something than they need to, whether it's as simple as, you know, a social media post or a blog post or an email, or as big as, you know, an experiential marketing strategy. Like, they might use it, well, and I guess this is a question for you, do they use it at multiple events, or yeah, does it really vary client to client?
Some do. So we're doing some technology for conferences, which are typically one-off, one-off conferences, and they'll use the technology for that. We do a lot of, things for music festivals and such that are could also be one-off. But then we have tours. We're doing a tour for Crown Royal right now that's going across the country to dozens and dozens of cities. We're doing a tour for the NHL right now, an interactive museum that celebrates their 100-year anniversary, and that's traveling to every stadium in the NHL, both in the U.S. and Canada, and then a couple other hockey towns. So, these are tours. These are things that are meant to be reused, and we're constantly iterating and improving the experience so that, these things are bulletproof and better for the clients as they kind of take their journey across the tour. Yeah.
And making sure that they build on each other too. Like being able, tour, I could see the huge benefit in, if stop one, two, or three, blows up on social media, then that's only going to help the rest of the tour. And I'm sure it goes into some of that strategy. And it probably takes a little bit of the pressure off for you guys to know that it's not just a once and done deal, that all your hard work gets to be reused a couple more times.
Yeah, it's certainly nice to, see it kind of, live its life and not just live and die in a few days. But the important thing there too on the tours is that we get to learn from it. So, we get to see how people are using it and what they like about it. And if there's changes that need to be made, we're tracking those things, from a technology standpoint, through user interface stuff, like where are they clicking? What are they touching? Is the user interface confusing, or how long are they spending on the activities? All the way through, how many people are actually walking through the space? How long does it take them to walk through the space? So we're tracking a lot of stuff, and tours are great because we can learn so much and help our agency partners and our brand clients understand, where this can evolve in future dates.
Yeah, for sure. So one other question that I had that we touched on a little bit, but another practical piece to this, how can we, if we're at an event, a business is at an event, how can they get the people coming to their booth or their table or whatever, their exhibit, to act on that interaction, to act on that excitement that you might be generating in the moment? Do you have to get them to do something then and there versus thinking that they're going to be able to go home and do something? Is that one of the key drivers, or what tips do you have to capitalize on those moments?
I think it really depends on a few things. It depends on the setting. It depends on, is it B2B or B2C? Mm-hmm. And I think it also depends on what the message is and who the client is. Mm-hmm. I think people are more likely to share something in the moment or to act on something in the moment. We try to do as much as we can in the moment versus something later. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that something later is necessarily going to yield a significant drop off. I think if there's an incentive there, if there's a compelling reason for someone to engage, or a really great way of touching that attendee after they've left your experience, I think that you can still get some great results. We oftentimes do a sort of reminder email to attendees too. For a build we did for Smirnoff for an EDM festival, they took a photo, and then most people shared it right there in the moment. I mean, it was wildly successful. But we did a Throwback Thursday campaign where the brand crafted this really awesome email that we auto-generated every Thursday that sent back the picture to the attendee again. So it said, hey, remember that time where you were at this, really cool EDM festival like last Thursday or last week? Happy Throwback Thursday, and had their picture again. And we did see spikes on Thursdays in social shares. So that was really cool.
Yeah, for sure. So how about, I'm going to ask you one more tip related question for us. So how can people dip their toe into the water for this? They might not have a huge budget. They might not have the experience behind it, or the ability to hire something out. Is there something that they can get started and use some of this advice short of you know, hiring an ad, like, what can they do if they're heading into their next event to try to dip their toe in the water for experiential marketing?
Yeah, so for experiential marketing kind of as a whole, I think it does take a decent budget, but, yes. You know, that's kind of it can scale, I guess you can say. I mean, anything that you can think of that can be a great experience for your brand, you know, figure out how you can make that a reality, because it's probably going to have a lot more impact than you think if it's your first time. I think engage an agency. Even if there's not like a big time, high profile experiential agency in your town, you know, a lot of the full service agencies still do event marketing. Mm-hmm. So they still get what experiential marketing is, and they can have some really great ideas, and they can help you manage that budget to maximize the ROI for you. So I think don't be afraid to reach out if you're not typically engaged with agencies. Just try it. You might be surprised. And then for the technology side of it, there's a lot of really great out-of-the-box products that if you're not afraid of technology, you can kind of customize yourself. There's some really cool photo booth products online if you want some really cool digital takeaway. There's every day I feel like there's new stuff. There's really great social walls that you can get. And it's kind of like a pay-as-you-go kind of price. You're not going to get the ultimate customization and this, you know, well-thought-out strategy, but it's going to be something that's going to kind of liven up that experience a little bit. So while I don't want to, you know, say it's a low cost endeavor for you, you might be surprised at what the cost can be depending on the setting.
Right. Can you explain a little bit more? You mentioned digital takeaway. What are some examples of that?
Yeah, so that photo or that video or that GIF that people are going to want to go to social and to tell all their friends, like, hey, I did this really cool thing, and like, you're going to miss out on it because you weren't there. Gotcha. You know, that kind of thing, I think, is super important.
Okay, cool. Aside from that, could you give our listeners a recommendation, whether it's a book, an app, a course, something like that?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to borrow from something you said earlier, where you said, don't be afraid of technology, you know, don't be afraid of it. I think that, you know, subscribe to, you know, in your news feeds, you know, Android or Apple, like subscribe to Mashable or Engadget or TechCrunch. And if a headline catches your eye, read the article. Don't be afraid of it. Start to understand, like, what's coming and how are people using it. I mean, technology is taking over. There are coffee makers now that like can automatically make you coffee in the morning, you know, connected to your Alexa device or your Google Home device or Siri.
Well, and even here, you know, in these farm towns around here, they've seen a shift. I was talking to somebody that said that their farm boys have apps on their phone tracking like milk output of their cows and, you know, their everything, you know, something as like basic, you know, old school as farming these kids are enjoying getting to take something that they grew up with and the animals that they enjoy working with, but also partner it with fun, cool, techie gadgets. It's fascinating to hear. And I agree with you. I think I would also say with technology, like read those articles, and it's okay if you don't thoroughly understand it or if you can't apply it or if you don't understand, you know, to the depth of what they go into. But I do think there is inherent value just in being aware of it. You don't know when that might spark an idea or loop back around later. So I think that's great advice. Subscribe to all of those great tech media outlets just to keep an eye on what's happening. And I also think it's just fascinating. So
definitely. That's and for me, the though. for the ambitious listeners, if they want to kind of explore developing and coding, don't be afraid of that either. There's some really great free websites out there, and there's some really great paid ones out there too, like Code School, where you can get a super basic entry level like introduction to coding and actually build something like very, very quickly and understand how it works. Like even for like little kids, there's stuff out there to kind of learn coding. And I'm not saying that anybody wants to become a developer, but it's always good to kind of see how it works behind the scenes, you know?
Yeah.
And I really want to encourage that a little bit more, because I think that's the future. Like I think more and more people are going to be, you know, able to do these really cool things that, you know, are kind of seen as these super complicated things right now.
Right. And so much of it, like even coding, you know, at the core of it, it's just a lot of like logical thinking. It's just a lot of, you know, this happens and then you partner it with this so that it creates this. And we need that in our everyday lives now. We need that troubleshooting mentality. We need to, be able to think logically and think sequentially to troubleshoot a lot of different areas. But I think it's also interesting how, like, there are so many people that do understand the depths of technology that are able to present us with a simpler experience. So, like, you can learn to code, quote unquote, using like a fun iPhone app or something. You know, my 7-year-old son will sit down and he's essentially coding a robot on this iPhone app, but it's just whoever created that app, you know, I'm sure what they're seeing is way more advanced, way more elaborate than what's being presented. But there's value to people. Like you said, you can dive in as much or as little as you want to, but there's value in just learning about it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Just don't be afraid. Just try it.
Yeah.
Can't hurt you.
Right, exactly. So how can people find you and your company?
So me personally, if you're in Orlando at the Delta Terminal, I'm there probably most days, traveling a lot these days. You'll probably bump into me. www.mvrk.co. You can email us at hello@mvrk.co. We're on social media. At Maverick Group on Twitter and Instagram. I think it's just MVRK or possibly MVRK Group on Facebook. You can just do a quick search and find us there.
Okay, awesome. And I'll make sure that we link to your website in the show notes and then people can kind of connect through there. But do you have any final thoughts for us? I know we kind of touched on a lot of different things.
Just going to reemphasize the message of don't be afraid. Be fearless. Go out there and see, is experiential marketing right for you? What could those budgets look like? And then going back to that technology piece, you know, just jump in somewhere and spark a conversation or spark an idea and run with it.
Yeah. And try it. And if you hate it and it didn't work, then
at least you tried.
Then fine. Go right. Back. But, or, you know, try again later is usually then the end right. Thing. But thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Steve. And, I'm excited to share this episode with our audience and, teach them a little bit more. I know I learned a little bit more about experiential marketing throughout the last, you know, 45 minutes or so. So thank you.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Talk to you later.
Thanks. Bye.